Our Father, we are grateful that we can stand with one another. We can link arms with one another, as it were, as we pray for one another. We are grateful that you are a God who hears prayer, that you are a God who is attentive to our prayers, whose ear is listening, whose eye is upon us. We are grateful that you are not a God who is absent from us in any measure, at any time, but a God who is always present to us in the fullness of his being. A God who not only hears us when we pray, but calls us, even commands us to pray. To live out the reality that you alone are omnipotent. You alone are omniscient. You alone are perfect wisdom and goodness. And that we are dependent upon you, fully dependent. To confess that and to demonstrate that in our praying, simply by virtue of the act itself. And so we come to you this morning and we give thanks to you for your mercies, Father. We acknowledge that every blessing that we receive comes from your hand. However it may come to us, it comes ultimately to us from your hand. And we thank you. And we pray, Father, for those in our congregation. We pray this morning for Jeannie, and we would just uphold her before your throne. We know, Lord God, that your eye is upon her. You know her situation. You know the number of her days. You have allotted those before any of them came to be. You understand not only the number of her days, but you know the character of those days. You know what her life will include, what it will involve, what triumphs and what tragedies, what opportunities and what challenges. And Father, even this, that she is now beginning to experience, this difficulty with her leg, this is not unknown to you. This is not only understood by you, recognized by you, but ultimately it is ordained of you. And we just commend her to your care. We pray, O God, that this would be cause for her to look to you even more, that this would cause her to be mindful of the fact that you have richly blessed her and that all of her blessings come from you and that you are sufficient for her even in this situation, whatever it may lead to. Father, we don't know exactly how this is going to unfold and what it will bring, but you do. But in her uncertainty, I pray, Father, that you would protect her, that she would not be carried away by anxiety as we are so prone to do, but that she would rest in peace in the knowledge of your goodness and of your faithfulness, of your trustworthiness, of your sufficiency. Father, I pray that you'd bring all of these realities to her mind to encourage her. And I pray that your word would just be an open book before her, that its truth would minister to her soul, to enrich her heart and her mind, even as she continues to experience the effects of age and the limitations that brings. We pray for Deborah, her daughter, and as she cares for Jeannie, as she's there with her, I just pray that Jeannie's testimony of faith in you, her confidence and her trust in you would be a testimony to her daughter as well. For others in our fellowship dealing with various concerns, again, we would just uphold each one to you. You are the one who knows us, and you're the one who keeps us, you're the one who provides to us, and we just acknowledge that this morning and pray your mercies on each one. We pray for wisdom. We pray for comfort and for encouragement. We pray for discernment in whatever decisions need to be made. And Father, I pray that now as we come to your word for a few moments, that you would encourage us in the truth that's here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for a few moments this morning, I want to direct our attention to something that's not new to us, something that we've considered before. We stand here at the beginning of a new year, and a new year is always a good time for reflection and for review, for considering things, for giving thanks to the Lord for His mercies to us in the days that are past, just being encouraged with the anticipation of His continued faithfulness to us as we move ahead. As we look ahead to the year that is before us, as we continue on into another year of life, not only individually, but thinking specifically as a body, as a congregation, it's good for us to be reminded of the core concern that we have as a congregation, to be reminded of our essential purpose of our ultimate aim as a church. You know, we get our nose to the grindstone as the year goes on, and we're busy with various things, and it's good for us to take the opportunity periodically just to step back, to kind of lift our eyes and to kind of see the broader picture, and to be reminded of what lies at the core, what is our essential purpose, what is our ultimate aim, what we are about in all that we are about as a congregation. In other words, it's good for us to be reminded of the things that define us as a body. We have a statement emblazoned on our worship center wall: conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples to the glory of God. Now that statement is there because it expresses our core, our essential, our ultimate concern as an assembly. It encapsulates our core, our essential, our ultimate purpose, our ultimate objective, what it is that we are about. Conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples to the glory of God. The statement is there because it defines us. It defines what we are about. It's there because it expresses who we are and what is our objective, what is our purpose. It is our purpose statement, if you will. It is our mission statement. But this morning I would like to direct our thoughts to the reality, to the idea that more than just a purpose statement, more than just a mission statement, this is our vocational statement. This is our vocational statement. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean when I say that this statement is our vocational statement? Well, what does vocational mean? What is a vocation? Commonly, we think of a vocation as a job, right? We think of it as a job, as a particular line of work. But what does it mean to call a line of work a vocation? What is the specific, particular meaning of the word vocation? It comes from the Latin word vocare, which means, any Latin students out there? Vocare, what? To call. A vocation is a calling. A particular work, to call a particular work, a particular line of work, a vocation is to understand that line of work, that task, that job, as a calling, as something to which one has been called. Now, there's a whole world of truth that's packaged and wrapped up in that idea, and we don't have time to go into that this morning. That's not our purpose. But to say that this statement is our vocational statement is to say that this statement expresses that to which we are called. It expresses that to which we are called. It expresses our calling. The concern, the purpose, the objective expressed in this statement is not merely something that we have chosen or determined for ourselves, like a purpose statement or a mission statement. It's not something that we've kind of manufactured by our imagination, creative thinking, as a statement that can give us some direction. It's not merely something that we have chosen or determined for ourselves. Rather, The concern, the purpose, the objective that is expressed in this statement is something that has been determined for us. It's something that's been determined for us. It's something that has been given to us. The statement is not something that we have invented or authored on our own, out of our own imaginations, as an aim that we have for ourselves, that we ourselves have chosen. No, this statement is the articulation of a concern, a purpose, an objective to which we have been called. It is our vocational statement. And as we think about that, we think about a vocational statement, we think about a vocation, we think about a calling. The question is, who is it that has called us? Who is it that has called us? Who has issued this calling? Who has said to us, conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples to the glory of God? It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is God the Father who has issued this calling. It is the triune God. It is the eternal God who has issued this calling. And as the calling of the eternal God, as the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a calling to which we must give attention. It is a calling to which we must attend. We must take notice of it and we must act on it. And so that statement is there because it not only defines us, it not only describes who we are, it is there because it is our vocational statement. It expresses that to which we've been called by God in Christ. And so it's appropriate, it's even important that periodically we take time to give attention to it. That we once again bring it before our eyes, before our minds and our hearts, and consider it. Consider what it is that God has called us to and understand what it means, what it involves, and what it implies, the implications that arise from it. And so in view of the fact that this is the beginning of the year, seems as good a time as any to spend some time thinking about it, in view of the fact that there are some among us who are new. Since the last time we considered this statement, it seems that it is good for us to spend a few weeks considering this truth. And we'll begin to do that next week more in earnest, more directly. But in the time that we have remaining this morning, I simply want to encourage you with the reality that as those who are Christ's, as those who have been brought to faith in Christ, we are the called of God. This is our vocational statement. This is our calling, which means we are ones who are called. We are the called of Christ. We are the called of God. We are ones who have been called. If we are here this morning, if you're here this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has opened the eyes of your heart to see the spiritual realities of an infinite and eternal Creator, who is worthy of all honor and all glory, of perfect, unfailing trust and obedience. If your eyes have been opened to recognize and even confess the fact that you yourself, as a creature of God, do not honor Him fully, and if God has brought you to see that you are under the wrath of God, deserving His judgment, and yet, in His mercy, He's provided a way of escape through faith in Christ, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and you've put your faith in Him, then you are one who is called. You are the called of God. God has called you to Himself. This is your identity. This is how you ought to think of yourself. At least, One way in which you should think of yourself: I am one who is called of the eternal God. Now, this is the clear teaching of the Scriptures. Repeatedly, this idea of calling is used to describe God's actions in bringing us to Himself, bringing us to Christ. The word called is used to describe those who are in Christ. And I just want to quickly give you a number of examples from the New Testament. This is not by any means exhaustive, but it is representative of this truth as it's conveyed in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And down the page in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm astonished, the Apostle Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom, and glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but as He who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I just want to direct you to one more passage from 1 Peter that came to my mind after I'd written my notes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Jude 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. So this is just a sampling of this idea as it's presented to us in the Scriptures. And two summary statements of this reality are given to us in Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. That would certainly be the seminal, the foundational, the ultimate statement of this reality, recognizing as we do, it's resting in the eternal purposes of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 then, Paul addressing the Roman believers says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are the called of Christ. We are the called of God. We are those that God has called. He has called us by the inner working of His Spirit through His Word. And our believing in Jesus Christ is essentially our answering that call. God initiates with the call. We respond with faith in Christ. A response, I might add, which is itself enabled by God Himself. So in Christ, we are the called of God. The whole of our life, then, is to be an answering of that call. We are identified as the called. The whole of our life is to be an answering of that call. The call is to specific, particular objectives and concerns and purposes. The call is to particular, specific concerns that are expressed and summed up for us as a body in the words, conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples, to the glory of God. And the question that we must ask ourselves this morning, and indeed a question that we can ask ourselves as a way of checking ourselves and our relationship to our identity as those who are called, the question is, are we answering the call? Are we answering that call? Is our life characterized by the concerns, the purposes, the objectives that are expressed, that are summarized for us in that statement? Could we honestly say that by the grace of God, through the power of the Spirit, it's always by the empowering grace of God? It's not our own self-effort, it's not our works, it is the working of God in us. But can we say, by the grace of God, that that word captures the truth of who I am? It may not be perfect. None of us can claim to be. We may not be fully and completely faithful to that calling at all times. But do we own that? And does it own us? That's the question that we ask ourselves. Have we made a beginning? Are we making progress by the Spirit, by the Spirit's enabling? Are we growing in this respect? As you look out ahead of you, as we look out together as a body into 2020, as the Lord tarries and things continue, is our expectation and desire that we will be growing in that respect, the way in which, the degree to which, the measure to which we are answering that call? That's the question. As the called of God, this is the charge that is issued to us. And my prayer would be, for myself certainly and for us collectively as a body, that 2020 would see us more clearly identified, more fully characterized as those who are called, as those with a calling. The calling expressed in the words, conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, this is the expression of the call that rests upon us as those who are called in Christ, as those who by your mercy have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ, those who by your mercy have had the eyes of their hearts opened so that they flee to Christ for refuge. They're fleeing to Christ for deliverance from your wrath. Their hope is in Christ for salvation. This is the calling that rests upon us. We are identified as the called, as those called in Christ, and we are called to conformity to Christ for the everlasting good of all peoples, to your glory. Father, I pray that in these next few weeks, as we take time to reflect on this statement, and as we continue through this year, and that even day by day, as we are in your word and as we're serving you in our various places of appointment and opportunity in the lives that you have called us to, that this truth, this expression would more fully, more firmly, more faithfully characterize us. May we be a people being sanctified by the truth as it is in Jesus. And this we pray for the enriching of our own souls, for the enriching of our own lives and the blessedness of being yours and of walking with you. We pray it for the sake of those about us and those beyond us. We pray it ultimately for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.